Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, often when a home is haunted, the occupants assume it's a loved one returning to say hi. What do you do when it's not a family spirit and not a friendly one either? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and help keep this show on the air if you don't mind. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, our archive of more than 300 of those, and then our archive of thousands of regular episodes. You get all of those commercial free, and you help keep our show on the air. Our ebook and audiobook also included in that. Those right there are a $30 value if you're to buy them over on Amazon or Audible. So lots of ways to say thank you for supporting our program. It's only $5 a month. Do an annual membership and get 1 month of that whole thing free too. So lots of ways right there. It's the weekend edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. And that means it's Tony and Harper today in the studio. And
hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
And this is airing the weekend of Thanksgiving in the United States, 2020.
Happy early Thanksgiving, everybody.
Well, it's actually after Thanksgiving when this airs. So are you sick of turkey yet is the question, really?
No.
You never get sick of turkey?
I love turkey.
Yeah, it's one of your favorite things.
It's one of the most jolly things of this year.
Eating turkey is one of the most jolly things. It probably is one of the most jolly things this year. But if you have leftovers turkey, you probably have like turkey salad surprise going on. I don't know. I've never been great at creating different things with leftovers. It just ends up, you know, you just eat it and eat it and eat it. And then usually by Sunday night, I'm still like nursing a plate of stuffing going, is this still safe to eat? And then I go on the scale Monday and realize I put on like 15 pounds or so.
Yeah.
Mainly in stuffing, because that is my favorite. So
I'm not a big stuffing fan.
Then you haven't found good stuffing yet. You've never really even eats. Like I put it on your plate and you're like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm just there for the turkey and the canned gravy.
The canned gravy? We make the gravy. You mean the canned cranberries?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You're talking about, yeah, well, sometimes the canned cranberries can resemble gravy depending how long they've been on the shelf. But no, you do like the canned, I agree. Thanksgiving is not complete without the canned cranberries.
Yeah, and without the kids' wine, not real wine, grape juice, but it comes in wine bottles.
Yeah, the sparkling grape juice.
Yeah, the sparkling grape juice is also one of my favorite parts. Yeah.
So, well, there you go. So hopefully you're having a okay holiday. And if you stayed home, God bless you. It's a crazy world right now out there to be traveling, and the safety factor of putting your loved ones first by staying home is a good thing. So it sucks 100%. I 100% agree. But it is not a good place out there right now. We've just, we're playing it safe here as well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump right into it. If you're binging away this weekend, just trying to do a little escaping, we are here for you. Let's go to our first letter of the program. It says, hey guys, my name is Samantha. I've lived in Central Florida my whole life. I've always been interested in the paranormal since I was a child. I've had dreams come true anywhere from a friend having a baby to me injuring myself. I did not have an actual paranormal experience until after my divorce from my first husband. My ex-husband and I were living in my childhood home. I lived in the same house from the time I was 2 years old. I never had an issue in the house before we moved out. Like pretty much any story, there was an escalation of events that occurred. It started off small and then got out of control very quickly. At the time, my daughter was only 1 year old. I was getting ready for bed. It was late at night, probably around 1 a.m., when I started hearing whispers on the baby monitor. It sounded like someone was trying to speak to my daughter. She and I were the only ones in the house at this time. I wrote it off as a deceased relative, probably saying hello to her or something like that. This continued other nights, one of which my daughter woke up and simply just said, "No," as her vocabulary was limited. I was still surprised to hear her responding to random whispers after she said no, though the whispers immediately stopped. It seemed like that was going to be the extent of the activity until I started dating again. I had my boyfriend at the time staying over. I was asleep in bed and I woke up to my boyfriend sitting straight up in bed. It was around 3 a.m. He was visibly shaken. I asked him what was wrong. He said, "I just saw a black figure with red eyes standing in the doorway. He was staring at me." I looked, but I saw nothing. I tried to get him to go back to sleep, but he decided to leave instead and go home. I was at a loss. The entity had done nothing to me. I went back to sleep with no issues. On another night, my daughter and I were home just after sundown. We were watching TV. She was crawling around on the living room floor. I was waiting for some friends to come over. I'd somehow lost the TV remote, so I got up and turned on the big light in the living room to find it. What I did find was far more shocking. A trail of blood drops in the middle of the living room, and my daughter had just crawled through it. I immediately freaked out, picked her up, and took her to the sink. The blood was on her hands. I thought maybe she had a cut or something. I washed her hands but did not find a scratch on her. I also checked my cats to make sure they did not have a wound on their paws or anything. I found no logical reason for the blood being there. I grabbed my daughter and ran out the door and put her in the truck. My friends were literally coming down the street, and I told them to meet me at the store down the street. I did not want to be at the house. They met me there, and I told them what happened. I was met with skepticism, except for my one friend who said that he heard someone calling his name at my house when I was not there. Not a religious person, and I've never really have been. However, most of my family is Catholic, so I had a rosary. At this point, I took it out of my jewelry box and hung it in my bedroom above my bed. Somehow, I thought this may help. I came home from work one day and the crucifix was gone. The rosary bead still hung here, but the cross part was missing. I immediately called my friend who said his name had been called when in my house alone. He came right over to help me investigate. We decided to move my bed to see if it had simply just fallen off the rosary beads. We found the cross, but it was broken into three pieces. I was in shock. I did not know what to do. I eventually told the whole story to my group of friends. One of them said and pulled me aside, "I can help, but this might get weird." At this point, I was willing to try anything. Little did I know my friend could speak in tongues. I have no idea what he said in my house that night. All I know is I never had any issues again. My daughter is 7 now. She was far too young to remember any of this. But somehow recently she asked me, "Mommy, do you remember the red-eyed man?" I've never told her story or any details, so part of me wonders if she is sensitive to the paranormal. Anyway, thank you for giving me an outlet to share my story. It's much appreciated. Stay safe and keep it spooky.
I wonder if the blood that was on the floor represents like a murder.
Like it was from some other time, some other place, and it's still there.
Yeah, and it, like, represents how the spirit, died, and it's a vengeful ghost for whoever did it.
I don't know. What would be scary is if you were there and your child is covered in this blood.
Yeah.
Number one, you're concerned because getting covered in blood, period, can be extremely dangerous because blood can hold all sorts of things and disease and viruses and horrible things that you, someone else's blood, you don't want on you in any way, shape, or form if you can prevent it. And if your child is in it, that's very scary because that's like, oh my gosh, if this is ingested or something, it could end up transmitting a disease to my child. Where did this come from? How did this get here? And not knowing where that came from, I think would be the scariest part. And the fact that it took a form of literally blood, it's washing away. It's not just like you see it and now it's gone. That I think would be some of the scariest things out there. And then the fact that that cross came off of that necklace by itself, broke in three pieces, that took some force. Whatever is there or was there has some power to it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's something that you really want to be there. I think it's like a bad, evil spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's
something dark that you don't want in your house.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next one. It's just basically from as young an age as I can remember, I've always been able to see spirits faintly. But as I got about the age of 6 or 7, I was living in Portsmouth with my mother, father, and 2 brothers. I'd always felt as though someone was watching me. I began to be able to see a man, but only as a faint figure. I began to be able to see him standing at the end of my bed. It seemed as though he was watching me. And I would always get a scared but incredibly angry feeling when he was around. I had one night frowned at him while lying in bed. The head of my bed was under a window ledge where my dad had put my old curtain pole, a long, thin metal one. After I frowned, I saw him walking towards the head of my bed. Being young, I got scared and put my head under the covers, and perfectly timed, I poked my head up and the curtain pole was dropped onto my head and he was gone. My parents had always said that they tried to get rid of him. They also could hear his heavy footsteps coming into my room. My parents split up, and after a few years of living with my mom and my little brother, I moved in with my dad. Same things were happening. I could feel him watching me, but I couldn't see him at all anymore. He'd always be walking around my room when I was downstairs, and we could all hear it. When we moved to Essex, the 3-bedroom house, I could feel him around me more and more as I got older, but for years I could never see him. Felt like he was watching me more. Got to the point where I know it sounds weird, but I didn't want to get dressed unless I had something to cover myself with. The walking around my room became more frequent and louder. Never been able to hear him, but I started hearing my name being called repeatedly. The first time I've ever seen him was when I was in Fayette during school. We all had laid down. I had my eyes closed. We had to do yoga as part of our exam. I felt as though someone was staring at me. I opened my eyes and a tall man with short dark hair was leaning over me. I couldn't see his face. I obviously panicked and sat upright, but there was nobody around me standing. That was the first and last time I could see him. At 17, my father had kicked me out and I had nowhere to go. I moved in with different friends and everywhere I went, it seemed to follow me. I then stayed with a particularly good friend and her mother and I stayed there for about 6 months. But during these 6 months, the sound of walking around was louder. Whichever bed I stayed in, whether it was in the same room as my friend or a spare room, it sounded as though he was jumping off the bed that I was sleeping on. I moved into a shared accommodation and I had constantly felt him around me. Everywhere I went, he was there, constantly feeling angry and quite scared at the same time. I had my best friend stay at mine whilst I was away on holiday for a week, but he did not follow me for that week. He stayed there. I never told my best friend about it because people would think I'm silly. But she called me up saying that there felt like there was someone standing at the end of my bed, where he usually stood with me. After 7 to 8 years of not seeing my mother, I had gotten in contact and moved back to Portsmouth. Obviously, he followed me. I stayed with my family. There had been a few nights in a row where a lot was happening to the point where it began upsetting me. I could hear something tapping on the doors, windows, tables, anything that was around me. I felt like someone was stroking my face and holding my hands. The dog wouldn't leave my side the whole time this was happening. I couldn't even use the toilet without him forcing his way with me. He would growl and bark for no reason, but everyone else was asleep upstairs. I felt a lot around me, and it did not feel nice at all. The TV kept muting itself. I don't know if it was related, but it was happening that night. He is still to this day with me. I can feel him around me. I've gone to see all kinds of people about it. I would not tell them anything about me, but they seem to know everything, some of the most personal things to me. I had a lady bring it up to me while I was having my aura photographed, and she had mentioned the tapping, saying something was trying to get my attention. And someone had also said that he is not my spirit guide, but he is not going to hurt me. They described him as angry, an angry person with a military background. I do not feel scared around him anymore. I just feel though he's watching me, maybe taking care of me. I am unsure. I really would like to find out what and who he is. If he's following me, if there is anything I need to know or do. I tried doing meditation and allowing him in the room with me, but it felt like I wasn't supposed to talk unless he wanted me to. The meditation was the first time in a while that I've been scared of him because I saw him, but more detailed than the first time. An angry man that doesn't want to hurt me. Is there any possible way I can find out why he is attached, if that's possible to know? Whether he wants to tell me something or not? Do I know him? Maybe a family member that I have not met? I'm unsure whether he's an attachment, but I have been told that he is. I'd like to know why he is with me and maybe get some help from the other side. Sorry, this is long. I just don't know what else to do.
That is very, very creepy. If you have a spirit that's following around that's angry but doesn't want to hurt you. And it also makes me want to think, well, why is it there? And why is it angry?
Here's my thoughts on it. I'm wondering, and this is based on so many stories that I've heard throughout the year about hauntings, and it's been, if I were to say there was a theme this year on ghosts or a running theme with some stories, it's the concept of people haunting themselves, their own energy manifesting into something that always follows them around, or follows them around when they're in intense chaos or frustration or anxiety or depression or pain or things of that nature. And what was described in this letter is someone who really had been going through a very chaotic life around them, moving from place to place, having very, very strained relationships with family members and friends, and just overall what one would describe as a very chaotic situation. Not a situation where you're going to sleep well at night, no matter what. And it's constantly around you. You don't have a lot of positivity. The little bits of positivity here and there are good, but the majority of it, if it was, you know, two scales balanced, my guess here would be we're sitting at 80-90% negative, maybe 10% positive in that life, the way it's been lived. I'm not saying that to blame anything. I'm just saying here's the facts of where we're looking at, of what was just described. I think when you have the scales tipped so much into the negative direction, and you know it's done oftentimes just inadvertently, as things pile up and pile up and pile up, and you feel like you've dug yourself into such a hole, or life has put you in a hole, or situations have put you in a hole, whatever it may be that pulled you down that far. I think sometimes people are able to, essentially, that negative energy manifests itself in what we would look at as like a ghost. Some things around you get manipulated. Dark feelings are around you. Sometimes people even see things. Like in this case, she saw this man, but nobody can really identify it. Some people have, you know, one person has a theory that it's this, another person has a theory that it's that. If you want to hear my theory, I think it has to do with the individual. I think it has to do with what's going on in their life. They said the 1 week they went away on a holiday, meaning vacation. That's what it's called. That's what going on a vacation is called in Europe, going on holiday. Maybe there was some positivity there for that week. Maybe that 1 week was the week where that individual, she was feeling really good, really positive. And then when you are surrounded by that, it's not at you. Now, could that energy still be living and manifesting in that house where she was at or where she lived? Yeah. Does it mean that it's a ghost from the outside? Possibly, but I'm really kind of going down this road, and I'm going to throw it out there on this one. And again, I'm not an expert. All I'm doing is giving opinions based on many stories that I've heard. And this is one I think you should hear, aside from just the simple, oh, I think it's a military person, or I think it's a man that doesn't mean you harm, but is, you know, kind of foul tempered. I think it could be you. I think it could be your energy that is manifesting out there and is it could be attracting other things in here and there that are in fact outside sources, but I think a lot of it could just in fact be the chaos and the sadness and the negativity that's going on in your world. And the way to alleviate that, the way to stop that, the way to get all of that to calm down is to find ways to slowly build yourself back up. And I know it's not depression and all that. I don't know if you're depressed, but I mean, I don't know how one almost couldn't be by hearing everything that you've gone through. It is not a turn a frown upside down proposition. It is a slowly but surely, you know, methodical, you're working your way back to having tipping those scales into a positive direction. And that's oftentimes done with the assistance of doctors, with outside help that has nothing to do with the paranormal. But if you can focus on those areas of mental health with professionals, with people who know what they're doing, knowing what they're talking about, do some reading on the topic, do some self-help, some self-awareness things. And the more you can build yourself up and tip those scales back the other way towards positivity, I think you're going to see a heck of a lot less of that stuff in your life and in your world. Yeah.
Don't let your demon take control of you.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. It's simple, but it, I mean, in reality, the way to do that is much more complex, but that is the simple goal at the end of the day. If you were to have like a mantra or something, don't let your demons take control of you, because our demons, I do believe, can manifest themselves in ways out there. It doesn't mean they're from the devil or this or that. It just means it's our energy. Our energy can do far more than I think we are aware of.
It's our sadness. It's our anger.
Mm-hmm. It's all of that. And we're living in a time right now where there is so much of that. So take a look at that. The more you can flip the script on what's going on in your life, I think the better your life can become. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the Dr. Fraser Crane Show. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and hear another ghost story. Hi, you are on the air. I'm listening.
Hi, Tony, Jenny, Carol, and now Harper. My name is Erica. I am a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I've been meaning to call this, and this happened to me last week. Right after I was listening to one of your shows, I was in the kitchen cooking dinner, listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. And after that, I went to go sit down on the couch, and I was watching the monitor where my twin daughters were up in their room sleeping. And one of them needed something, so I went up there, and I gave her a bottle or helped her find her bottle. And came back downstairs, and I was, you know, I didn't rush down the stairs. I kind of walked at a normal pace. And as I was sitting down, I was looking at the monitor screen to make sure that she had, you know, laid down and was going to bed, back to sleep. And I am like kind of watching the screen as I sit down, and I was like, oh, it looks like someone's in there, but it must just be the angle. And I sat down, and sure enough, there was a body in there, but it was like frozen from when I had been in there, like at least 30 seconds before. And, you know, I mean, it's not like the most high-tech, state-of-the-art screen monitor, but it still, I mean, it was kind of bizarre that it, like, held that picture for the amount of time it took me to walk all the way down the stairs and back into the living room. So, anyway, I just thought that that was kind of wild. And then it, you know, refreshed, and I showed it to my husband. I was like, look at this, and the amount of time it took me to, like, walk over to him and show him. Then all of a sudden it refreshed and went back to normal. And I mean, it glitches sometimes and freezes, but it, like, literally for, like, seconds or, like, a split second. So that was just, it was really weird. And then I found it even more bizarre that I had just been listening to the podcast, which I didn't used to do when I was at home. I would only do it when I was, like, driving or at work. But lately I've been listening more frequently because I got kind of behind on the episodes. Anyway, it was definitely a little creepy, and I told quite a few of my friends. I was like, oh my God, this just happened, and they were like, that is so bizarre. I know it's not the craziest of stories, but I have been really excited to call that story in. I love Real Ghost Stories Online. Like I said, I'm a longtime listener, at least, you know, 4 or 5 years I've been listening, and just love the show. And have been really enjoying listening to the other podcasts that you have been putting out. So, anyway, hope you have a good day. I look forward to listening to the latest podcast. Bye.
Well, that's creepy. If you see, like, a literal a body, like, on the monitor where you have babies sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
It, obviously, your concerns, like, what's in there, what is it doing there, and why is it there?
And what could it potentially do to my kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just a horribly scary concept to, as a parent, if something is threatening your child, especially a baby that can't speak out for itself or fend for itself in any way, shape, or form. And you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's a terrifying idea. It's one of those things where, you know, if you're like most of us who listen to this program or are part of this program, who just accept ghosts as being part of reality. It's one of those scary, scary ideas of when you put a baby monitor up in your child's room of the idea probably passes through your mind, what if I hear something else on this that's not my kid?
Oh.
Or what if I see something else on this now with so many of them being video that's not my kid?
Yeah, and it's just like, who is that?
Yeah, and how do you get there in time? And if you get there and there's nothing there, what do you do? How, you know, what do you do in that situation?
And that's the mystery today on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, one of Harper's favorite things to do now is watch old episodes of Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. You like the old ones better.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah, you like the creepiness. I think she's slowly putting the blocks together on what has what created her dad. why her dad is like he is.
Unsolved Mysteries and Ghostbusters.
And that's my dad. Yep. Is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do one more call before we wrap up our Thanksgiving episode. Hi.
My ghost story is about when I was a young boy, my teacher or my best friend's dad was like a dad to me. He used to take me fishing and hunting and we played basketball together. I mean, he took us shooting BB guns and all this other stuff. But as we got older, he ended up getting me a job, and of course we kind of hung together. My best friend and I and his dad used to go out and have a beer or two and talk, and he became my supervisor for a big glass corporation. But anyways, he was just like a father to me. But as years passed, I ended up where we kind of separated and went our own ways, and this man, as time went on, we became where we finally got together again, and he ended up becoming my, I haven't seen him for years and years and years. So anyways, I looked in a phone book, and it was a 2000 phone book, and anyways, I called him up, and I talked with him, and he says, we were talking, and as we were talking, he knew what we were telling our old stories about when we were kids. And anyways, he says, I think you should call my son Tom up. He was my best friend. Of course, I was talking to his dad. And as we were talking in that, he says, you know, Chip, he says, you need to get back and talk with my son. He says, I'm doing really great. And he says, I just, you know, the we were just talking about the past when we were kids. And he says, you really need to get back, though, and talk to my son. So I did. I called back and talked to his son, Tom. And I called Tom up and said, Tom, guess who I just talked to? I just got done talking to your dad. And he goes, Chip, he said, my dad's dead. He died. I said, no. He goes, he died 3 years ago. I go, no. And I says, hey, Tom, I got to go. So I recalled that number up, and it was, it rang and rang and rang, and that was it. It never did answer. And I was talking to his dad, and he was dead. So that was my story. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's creepy when you're talking to someone's dad that's dead.
What's interesting is he had zero inkling that he was dead on the phone call. It was just, hey, you know, a friendly phone call, and you're catching up, and the last thing you're thinking of when you're reconnecting with someone is, hey, maybe this person is possibly dead that I'm talking to. No, the fact that you're speaking to them confirms usually that they're not in fact dead.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, it's good to hear that they're still around. And you're not going to say that to the person like, thank God you're still alive. It's been a long time. The potential for you to be dead is pretty high. You know, but you don't say that out loud. But then it turns out, God, I mean, I would love to know, and I'd love to hear the other part of that story of what happened, you know, after the phone call with the son, and the son being like, I gotta go. If they ever did reconnect on a level of more communication and had some moments to kind of absorb what happened there together and to share, no, I'm pretty damn sure I talked to your dad. Otherwise, that would be a really crazy, weird thing to do. I mean, sometimes I get wrong numbers to me, but I can honestly tell you I've never pretended to be somebody's dead parent. I've never done that. I've done many things, mainly to telemarketers. Usually if there's someone calling me that's a human being that just has the wrong number, I just tell them they have the wrong number and we move on. But if it's a telemarketer, I'll go all out and they'll think I'm Ted Bundy or something horrible. But there's two things here. Number one, it could be somebody playing a prank, but I don't know, because they would have to be pretty darn good at this and know how to just elicit enough information out of that person to play along and make it sound as if they knew what they were talking about and make it sound believable. And people are, they don't do that for the most part.
And what's crazy is he had a phone book and called.
Yeah, he looked up the number for the individual. I mean, so unless that individual has been inundated with calls from people looking to talk to this person who is dead, and now they're just making a game out of it, which I guess is a possibility if you're trying to find a way to debunk the story. But I think it's much more likely that he, in fact, did talk to the father. There was a reason he talked to the father. It was something about getting in touch with the son. The son needed to hear from this old friend for some reason. What that reason was, I don't know. That's why I would love to know more if they did, in fact, get a chance to reconnect further and how that went. And maybe that's the reasoning there for that visit or for that connection that came through, you know?
Yeah.
It was a short but a very good story. Thank you so much. And please do update us on that if you would. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air and get all of our bonus episodes, more than 300, some of them, all waiting for you to binge away on. You get advanced episodes of the show ad-free. ebook, audiobook, ghostpodcast.com is where to do it, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.